And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, The Blessing, was written by Joseph Mendel, adapted from a short story of the same title by Hugh H. Nissenson, published by Harper's Magazine.
Later that day, he was to stand again on the balcony when the first star of the evening gleamed in the southern sky, and other stars, much dimmer, more distant, appeared beneath the first and seemed, because of the drift of the clouds, to be racing out to sea. Later still, when all the clouds had gone and all motion had ceased, he would see from horizon to horizon countless stars shining, arranged in a vast, quiescent, and eternal order. And, seeing them, he would weep. But that was to be later. Now, from the balcony, looking past the old man in the long black coat, who seemed to be asking a question from the street below, he saw the red-tiled roof of the grammar school, where his son had been enrolled in the fourth grade before his illness. And beyond the school to the west, beyond the highway to Haifa and the sand dunes, the inert Mediterranean reflected the pale blue sky and returned him to the old man and the question.
It's no use, then?
I can't hear you.
You won't change your mind?
I'm sorry, Rabbi. No.
Yitzchak? There you are. Rabbi Levinsky's gone?
A few minutes ago.
Without saying goodbye? Well, never mind. Did he tell you I knew his wife?
He mentioned it.
I used to make all her dresses when they lived in Ramat Gan. A lovely person, a lovely couple. Everyone likes him. Admires him, I should say. He was in Auschwitz. Did you know that?
He mentioned that, too.
That wasn't easy for a rabbi.
Was it easy for anybody?
Oh, not only because of the Germans, because of the others in the concentration camp with him. Seeing themselves and where they were, you can imagine with what eyes they looked at a rabbi.
Yes.
And you can also imagine what sort of a rabbi he must be if he still had the people's respect in such a place.
I understand.
Oh, do you? Do you know what questions he was asked? What bitter questions he had to answer from people suddenly plucked out of life into those camps. The hows and the whys. Do you really understand?
I wasn't in Auschwitz like him or in Belsen like you, but I...
But you also have a question. How and why? I know. Did you ask it of him? Did you, Yitzchak?
No.
Maybe he would have an answer for you.
I said I didn't ask him.
All right. Yitzchak, did you make the arrangements with Rabbi Levinsky?
I made the arrangements.
For tomorrow? What time does the service start?
Early. 8:30.
That's a good idea. The earlier the better. Now, what about the hired cars?
What about them?
How many are you going to have?
One.
I thought so. That's only enough for the four of us. Rabbi Levinsky, you, me, and Mira. Now, what about Svi?
He'll drive himself.
Oh, I didn't know he had a car.
He has a jeep.
Good. And the Rosens? And Mira's friend? What's her name?
Lani.
The one who married that doctor in Netanya?
Yeah, Lonnie Goldman.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one. Now, who else?
I don't know. Nira will know.
She's sleeping. We can ask her later. Now, do you want me to call the others?
If you like.
If I like? What's the matter with you? All right. All right, I'll call them from the pharmacy when I go shopping. Yitzchak, there's something else.
What?
If they all go to the cemetery, we'll have to invite them back here afterwards for something to eat.
Oh, yes, I remember. The meal of condolence.
We will have to give them eggs or lentils to begin with. That's required. Now, after that, Yitzchak, are you listening?
Seems so far away, in another life. I remember the dark synagogue on Diesengulf Road with the slippery floor. Candles and fish on Friday night. The red velvet tallis bag that Papa gave me on my 13th birthday.
Your bar mitzvah. Listen, Yitzchak. After the lentils, you can have whatever you like. Meat, if you want.
Whatever you decide.
I thought I'd make veal cutlets.
That's fine.
Or maybe a stew, if you'd rather.
Anything. I don't care.
Oh, I know you're upset, Yitzchak, but...
Yes, I'm upset. You keep talking about the menu. Are you planning a party?
No. A funeral. Your son's funeral. That also must be planned.
Don't mind how I talk, Esther. I'm grateful that you're here now. Nira and I, we're both grateful.
I know. And our old aunt has some uses after all. You won't be angry if I say something?
What?
Yitzchak. Maybe you'd better talk again with Rabbi Levinsky.
It's not enough to talk. There must also be understanding. He had tried earlier that same day to talk to Rabbi Levinsky. But it seemed to him as if they spoke in unknown languages across an ocean of space. The words had familiar sounds, but in dropping from the lips, they shed their meaning so that what reached the ear made understanding impossible.
He was 10 years old, Rabbi.
Yes, that's what they told me.
He was only a boy and condemned to suffer.
It was cancer, they told me.
I'm telling you. He lay in the hospital bed and looked at me with eyes of suffering, day after day.
Yitzchak,
what are you going to tell me? That he was neither the first nor the last?
There is no counting. Each one is the first and the last.
Are you going to quote me scripture? Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. He was not a man, but a child.
You're angry.
Why shouldn't I be? No. No, I don't want to be angry. I want you to tell me.
What?
I don't know.
I have tried, Yitzhak. But I think you do not hear me.
I've listened.
Yes. For a word, for a sudden phrase that would bring you peace. Yitzhak. I don't have such words.
Then what's the use of saying anything?
Now, as he sat in the room, the light seemed to have diminished. And with it, yesterday's anger. Outside, above the red roof of the schoolhouse, the pale blue sky was becoming translucent. And in the center of the floor, Esther waited patiently, watching, as if expecting him to speak.
What is it, Esther?
About tomorrow. I'll tell Svi to drive straight there's no sense in his coming here first in the morning.
Esther, I'm not going.
Where?
To the funeral. You and Nero will have to go alone.
I don't understand.
I'm staying home.
Aber ich kann nicht verstehen. Why?
It's not your fault. I don't blame you for it.
For what? What did I do?
It was something you said.
I? When?
When I came back from the hospital, when I told you.
I didn't say anything. What did I say? Oh, yes. Yes, I remember. Boruch ato ad Hashem Elokeinu Dayen Ha'omes. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, who art the true judge.
Rabbi Levinsky said that the same blessing or something similar would be repeated over the grave tomorrow.
Well, of course, that's part of the ritual.
I'd forgotten. I haven't been to a funeral since Papa died. I told the rabbi I wouldn't go.
What does he have to do with it?
I told him that if those words were said, I wouldn't go.
Oh, but why, Yitzchak, why?
Don't you understand? A true judge, how can I have any part of that? That boy
was... What? What was he? You shake your head, but you don't say anything. Your son, what was he? Tell me, what?
Innocent.
Yes. He was innocent. Then my husband, dead of typhus in the camp at Belsen, he was guilty. And my daughter, 13 years old, sent in a sealed boxcar to Auschwitz, to the crematoria. She was guilty. And I, who survived in Belsen, what am I?
No, Esther, forgive me. I didn't mean it that way, but you asked me.
I heard your answer, and I wonder at myself. You see how calmly I explain it to you?
Explain?
It's not easy. Never think, not for one moment, that one simply accepts it once and for all. The innocence and the suffering and the dying. You mustn't think that that's all there is to it.
What then? You tell me that.
Ah. Baruch Hashem Yom Yom.
Praise be the Lord day by day.
And every day. One must struggle every day. You understand? Every day. It's getting late. I have to buy the food for tomorrow. You'll leave it to me, won't you?
Wait, Esther.
Yes?
Esther, acceptance is not the hard thing.
It takes time, Yitzchak. A long time.
Accepting suffering and death, it's a natural process. The mind protects itself. Here, look. See, Esther, see. Here, I shut my eyes like this. Here, tightly. Already, it's not even a whole day. Already, it takes me so much effort to remember his face exactly. His thin, pinched face under the sheet. The snub nose. The wide mouth. Like Nera's. The tiny mole. Where was it? Where? On the left cheek beneath the eye, yes.
Don't, Yitzchak.
One must struggle every day, you said.
Jeder Tag. Every day.
You too? Still?
Still.
You struggle for what? To accept the suffering inflicted on the innocent ones in the death camps? No. It's not that.
No? Then what?
I don't know. Yes. Yes, I know. To sanctify the suffering. Blessed art thou who art the true judge. You praise God, your tormentor.
And if I do...
At the funeral tomorrow, they would require of me the same degradation.
Is that how it seems to you?
That's what it is. And that's why I won't go tomorrow. Understand?
Yes. Yes. Only, when will you tell Nira?
Did I wake you, Nira?
I wasn't asleep. I was thinking.
Sun is so low. It's shining right in your eyes.
It's all right.
I'll fix the window shade.
What time is it, Yitzhak?
Almost 6.
That late. Have you had your dinner?
I'm not hungry.
You mustn't be ashamed to ask Esther to make you something.
I will. Well, I get hungry. Nira, I have to tell you...
Yes. What?
Well, nothing. Yeah, maybe you should try to sleep a little, or at least rest.
Oh, don't go. Sit here on the bed for a while.
Esther wants to know if you remember Lonnie Goldman's address.
Natanya, number 12 Weitzman Street.
All right, I'll tell Esther.
Are you going to phone Lonnie?
I thought I'd send a telegram.
Do me a favor. Call her. Speak to her yourself. I'd like her to be with us tomorrow if she can.
Nira.
Yeah, yes, dear. Where are you going?
Can I get you something? A cup of tea?
No. But you go ahead. You get yourself something to eat.
All right.
Yitzhak, you won't forget to call Lonnie.
If that's what you want.
Yes, please. I want her to be with us tomorrow.
Death pushes time out of the world. No tomorrow, no yesterday. Only a timeless, peaceful now. But it was an illusion of peace, dispelled by the commonplace, by the sun, hanging like a bead from the telephone wires on a hill. Wires that recalled the morning's message.
You'd better come quickly.
They had reached the hospital, breathless from running and from fear, to be met in the corridor.
It's too late. I'm sorry. Please understand. It could have been next week, next month, instead of a few minutes ago. There was no way of telling. You mustn't blame yourselves.
Whom did one dare to blame? Between rising and setting, between morning and this late afternoon, when the sun, free at last of the telephone wire, was the color of the schoolhouse roof. In so short a time, how did one find, if not answers, the end to questions? He shaded his eyes in an effort to see into the classroom where his son had sat. The first floor, in the corner of the building. Yes, but the window was dark. If there were for him no answers, there was nevertheless a decision made earlier when Rabbi Levinsky had stood in the street below.
It's no use, then.
I can't hear you.
You won't change your mind?
No, Rabbi. No.
A last look at the street. A little yellow Arab dog, casting an enormous shadow in the light of the declining sun, ran by with its nose to the ground. A boy, going someplace or returning.
What are you whistling for? Stop it! You, I'm talking to you! Stop it, you hear me? What right do you have to whistle like...
Go home, boy. Go home.
What's wrong, Yitzchak?
It's nothing.
You must have wakened Nira.
She wasn't sleeping. Esther, when you go down to make the telephone calls, I'll go with you.
All right, but it isn't really necessary.
Nira wants me to call Lonnie Goldman.
But why can't I? Yitzchak, you didn't tell her that you were not going.
I will, later.
When?
Listen... The little dog must have found something, a bone.
Never mind the dog. When?
You have to buy the food, Esther. It's getting late. All the stores will close.
Let them close. Let them. When will you tell her? Well?
Leave me alone, Esther.
Oh, Yitzhak. Don't tell her. Don't say anything.
I must.
Not if you go.
I can't
go.
If I could go, don't you think I would?
Yes.
I can't. To say the blessing, to praise the true judge, not that added to everything else.
I know. I know it seems like the final humiliation. You think I don't remember? How many times at the camp did my mouth fill with bile from the curses I held in? How often, Yitzhak, did I think to myself, curse aloud and be done with it? Still?
But you didn't, and you want me not to. Why?
For myself, I know. For you?
Why should I praise and bless? To what end?
Look, look, the sun is down. The stars will soon be out.
Answer me, for what purpose? Why?
Boruch ato adoshem elokeinu melech ha'olom asher bidboro ma'arif orid
harim. I want to know. Tell me.
Why, Yitzchok? Because one must live. Bechochmo poseach she'orim uvisvono meshene itzim.
You think I don't know what you're saying? The evening prayer. Blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, who brings on the evening twilight and changes the times and varies the season and arranges the stars and their watches in the sky. Arranges the stars and their watches.
He stood now on the balcony. When the first star of the evening gleamed in the southern sky, other stars, much dimmer, more distant, appeared beneath the first and seemed, because of the drift of the clouds, to be racing out to sea.
Boruch ato adoshem hama ariv arodim. Blessed art thou, O Lord, who bringest on the evening twilight. Omein. Yitzchak, not even Omein? What is it, Yitzchak? What's the matter?
He was weeping. With one hand he gestured toward the sky. All the clouds had gone, and all motion had ceased. In its place, from horizon to horizon, countless stars were shining, arranged in a vast, quiescent, and eternal order that Esther had blessed, and from which he was excluded by the tumult in his rebellious heart.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi David H. Panitz, spiritual leader of Temple Emmanuel in Paterson, New Jersey. Rabbi Panitz.
The magnificent dramatization that you have just heard deals with an old and difficult problem. Why is there human suffering? Many cultures and traditions, since the very dawn of recorded history, have wrestled with this question and have offered a variety of explanations. Yet, unless we deify man or nature, we must acknowledge that the purpose of man's suffering, if it has purpose, remains a divine mystery, only partially revealed to us. More important, however, than the reason for suffering is the way we react to it. Some prefer to retreat into fantasy and to deny the realities of life. Others choose hedonistically to compensate for fate in the spirit of eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And others, on the contrary, admit that our very inability to control all the forces that bear on the human experience must lead us to make the most of those features of life that we can master. We can train ourselves to be ethically and morally sensitive. We can mold ourselves into people who translate challenge into constructive service to human ideals. We can learn to view our lives as links in the chain of human destiny, with a sense of responsibility to the past and to the future, thus ennobling contemporary man. We can use God's gifts of time and talent for the liberation of man from physical and even spiritual fetters. In short, though there are areas of our existence on this mortal coil that we cannot fathom or climb, there are incalculable stretches of human striving which we can both control and transmute into positive social good. Recently, in synagogues throughout the world, that portion of Scripture was read which contains the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. It begins, "I am the Lord thy God." This is our credo. We accept God and all his dispensations, for he is our Father and we are his finite creatures. We also accept his directive to live at our best, that our very beings shall be a sanctification of his holy name.
Thank you, Rabbi Panet. Eternal Light drama today, The Blessing, was written by Joseph Mendel, adapted from a short story of the same title by Hugh H. Nissenson, published by Harper's Magazine. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Sam Gray as Yitzhak, Beatrice Pons as Esther, Terry Keane as Nira, Roger DeCoven as the Doctor, and Louis Van Ruten as the Rabbi. Norman Rose was the narrator. This is Vic Roby. Our program was directed by Daniel Sutter. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.